to chat with. And so, as another reminder, if you do want to check out some of the bios, there is a webpage for the new nominees that will be voted on this summer. There's also a copy out in an Artifacts on the table. Also on that table, I'll print out some more as needed, but Luther Seminary put out a free devotional for Lent, so if that's something you would find interest in, I think a half dozen copies out there, plus the two of the larger prints. So this is fairly decent already, but I think you can also just get that on their webpage. But yeah, if you want to pick up a copy, feel free to take them. If you need more, you can just print them off real easy. So, of course, also beginning this Sunday is the Isle Community Lenten Cantata Practice. So I know they're doing like sign-ups and just kind of going through it. This would be good. I think that would be a good one to go to even if you're still on the fence about it, right? You can kind of go see what the music is like, check it out, and get a sense of it. So they're meeting down this afternoon in Isle at 3 o'clock at Faith Lutheran. What else? Of course, another heads up about the Heartland Welcome Conference coming up in April. So put that on your calendars. And then I think for the Worship and Music Committee folks, we talked about doing a March pizza and movie night, so if we want that to happen, maybe we should meet during the coffee hour and try to get a date on the calendar for that. So, I think, yeah, that should be fun. You know, we had a lot of fun last winter kind of doing some movie nights, and I know the music and worship team found another way to kind of finish up some of our fundraising and have fun when we do a movie night. Maybe movies with music in it, you know. If you want to sing along, you could, but we'll have to see if that would attract people or turn them off. I don't know, you know. But I know it was like Sound of Music. You can even get the singing version of it, where you can it'll have the lyrics for you. But any other prayers that we have at this time? Any other concerns or issues or items? Well, if there's nothing else at this time, then we will have our opening hymn 838. come in confession, trusting the love of Christ crucified and risen. God, who searches us and knows us,
you have shown us what is good, but we have looked to other lights to find our way. We have not been just in our dealings with others. We have chosen revenge over mercy. We have promoted ourselves instead of walking humbly with you. We have lost how we come before you. Forgive us our sins and show us your salvation.
Beloved of God, you have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, poured out for you in the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. Receive the promise of baptism. You are God's child. Your sins are forgiven. Rejoice and be glad, for yours is the reign of heaven.
Amen. Amen.
Lord of light,
as you were transfigured on the mountain, your followers were given your glory. Shine your light in our lives, so that we will know how truly marvelous you are. Amen.
You may be seated.
Let us read responsively our psalm this morning. Our psalm this morning is Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. You may remain seated for the gospel. And our gospel this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, beginning in the 8th chapter and the 27th verse and continuing into chapter 9.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And after 3 days, rise again. He said all of this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and he said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." And he said to them, "Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God has come with power." 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And then there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. The Gospel of the Lord. As you can tell, for Transfiguration Sunday, I'm wearing my most sparkly stole. I need to have someone like put some little lights in it, though, to really get the full transfiguration effect. Maybe one of our crafters can help me with that at some point. Just blink out a message maybe at you during the sermon. You know, when you think back on the moments when you felt most deeply connected to God, what were they like? What was happening? Where were you? Were you surrounded by the grandeur of a great cathedral, a candlelight service on Christmas Eve, the beauty of nature? Were you deep in the midst of an act of service? Were you serving food to someone or building a house or helping someone in the midst, you know, just simply sitting with them in the midst of tragedy? Your body aching, your heart hurting, but everything alive as well, connected to God and to everyone else. Those moments when we feel most deeply connected to our faith, they can come in moments of great joy, and sometimes they come in great tragedy, and sometimes, perhaps, in the ordinariness of life too. I know, like a lot of us who have had the fortune to travel to Europe, or perhaps even just one of the great buildings of our own country, you know, there's those moments when you go in those cathedrals and you can't help but just be blown away, right? That moment when you're absolutely just transfixed by the beauty of it. Even for the most, you know, Lutherans especially, or Protestants in general, we can get a little curmudgeonly, right? It's part of our heritage as a church, you know, protesting the Catholic Church and their excesses at that time. And so we kind of, you know, maybe go into it like, all that money that must have been spent on that. But then when you walk in the door, it's like, you don't even think of that. It's just, you're just in awe of the beauty and the wonder. You're just blown away by the experience. And it's not hours later until maybe you have those thoughts again. And of course, some of us also have very deeply meaningful experiences. I know I've had those experiences in the great cathedrals, but I've probably told this story before, but one of my most treasured memories of a moment of ministry or feeling connected to God was during my internship on the Pine Ridge Reservation. And there was a sunrise Easter service that we led that morning, kind of on a hill next to the cemetery. And then as we were walking back to church, some of the other people were starting to gather already for the next service. And they had a campfire going and they were heating up coffee and tea, because this was a tiny, tiny little country church with no indoor plumbing. You just had the outhouses, no central heating and air conditioning. You just had some old wood-burning stoves for the heating and a window for the air conditioning. Just a very simple kind of a building. But I would remember, too, that, you know, when they would have those fire-burning stoves going, this old oil drum was kind of all it was in the church building itself. And the women would... One of the women would always remember to bring a few little cedar fronds, and they'd let it smolder on top of the wood stove as it would give off this incense. I think I'll always remember that for the rest of my life, and feeling so deeply connected to my faith in those moments as well, even though it's about as far as you can get from the great cathedrals of Europe. And of course, how many of us move to this area or are grateful that we've lived in this area simply because of the beauty of nature? Those moments when you're out, perhaps early in the morning out on the lake, or in the evenings as the sun's setting and you hear the loons. How many of us feel such a deep connection to God in those moments as well? You know, Transfiguration Sunday, it's an odd sort of a story, I guess. It's a little bit different, you know, especially as we've been reading the gospel these past month or two, and it's all about Jesus healing, or maybe Jesus kind of poking and prodding the religious leaders of the day or the political leaders of the day. You know, the disciples, and they've been living it up, right? That's been the fun stuff. They've been traveling around. They get to hang out with Jesus. They get to help people. They get to stick it to the man a little bit. You know, all the kinds of things that other young men and others, I'm sure, would just love to kind of do. And yet here in the midst of that is this story of Jesus being, it's an experience of Jesus's divine nature in this entirely different way, in this mystical, amazing kind of a way. Jesus is dazzling white. There's visions of Elijah and Moses, maybe literally Elijah and Moses. And what are they to make of it? But even before we get to that, it's interesting because as the reading opened this morning, again, the disciples are riding high, right? They're living it up with Jesus. They're walking around. They're having a great time. It's all, you know, uphill from there. You can imagine we've had those times in our life too. And then Jesus has to just bring down a little dose of reality that the fun is not always going to last, right? Any good church council has some of those people, right? The people that are always lifting up the fun times and those that bring down the harsh reality of life too. And so Jesus gives them basically their first, he teaches them for the first time about where his path is headed. He says, listen, it's not just about helping people through these miraculous healings. It's not just about kind of teasing or giving the authorities a hard time. No, this is building to something more, that something more will happen because of what we are doing now. That because of what is happening, I will have to undergo suffering. I'll have to be rejected. I'll have to be killed. And in 3 days, rise again, right? That's the good news at the end of it. But Peter, poor Peter, and I'm guessing probably the rest of the disciples too, as soon as Jesus says the suffering and the killing part, their brain stops. This person that they've cared about, that they've been having such a great time with, that they've been pushed and stretched in such important ways, and now all of a sudden he's telling him it's going to come to an end. They're not quite ready for it. Peter, you know, poor Peter, as I said, I think probably the rest of the disciples were all thinking it. It's just that Peter is the one that has a little bit less control over his mouth, you know? He's the one that can't quite just sit on an idea for a while. No, he has to spit it out. He has to be the one to kind of be the fall guy for everybody else. And so Peter, you know, Peter tries to play it a little cool this time. He takes Jesus aside and he's like, listen, I mean, hold on a second, you know? And Jesus has nothing to, you know, he has no part of that. It's like, you can't, this is why I'm here. Or at least this is a big part of why I'm here. You cannot reject this part of the story. It's a hard thing, especially that word must, right? I must undergo suffering. I must be rejected. I must be killed. I know I was listening to a few reflections this week, one including Professor Craig Kester of Luther Seminary. And he says that he always gets hung up on that bit about the must. You know, and Christians, he says, you know, for ages, for since the very beginning, have wrestled with that word must, about what does this mean that Jesus must go to the cross, that Jesus must suffer and die. It's this huge train of thought in theology. There's all kinds of different specific nuanced kind of theories that theologians over the ages have given. But Professor Kester says that his belief is a little bit like this. Not that this is some sort of act of appeasing an angry God, that there was some blood sacrifice that had to be paid. But he said that what he believes Jesus was teaching them and us is that Jesus must suffer because human sin is real. Because human resistance to the grace of God is real. It's simply the natural consequence of all that Jesus is in his very being, in all of his teaching. But at the same time, that the Son of Man must also rise again. Because resurrection is God's no to human rejection. That God can't let rejection be the final word in the story. And Jesus knows too, not just his own end, his own suffering, but all the trials that his disciples are going to face too. He hasn't broken that part of the news to them yet, right? He's like, I'm going to take it step by step. You know, it's a difficult bit of news, but perhaps they were thinking of that as well. The disciples in their heads, maybe that's where they got caught up. Well, if this is going to happen to Jesus, what's going to happen to me? And Jesus cares about what's going to happen to them. That it will not always be fun times. That they too are going to struggle in the days and years and months ahead. And so perhaps too, this transfiguration, this dazzling mountaintop experience. Notice he takes Peter along with him, right? He just called Peter Satan, and he brings Peter along with him to the top of the mountain. Maybe because he knew that's what they needed. That as much as there is this messy, chaotic, painful side that Jesus lives into, that they also need to balance that out with this transcendent, this awe-inspiring vision of God. And I think that's important for us to remember as well, too. Because I think we need that balancing act in our life. Sometimes we are the kind of people that live into those transcendent moments. I mean, I know we're not some great cathedral here in Malmo, Minnesota, but you know, we find our moments of transcendence too, our moments of beauty and wonder. Whether that means you need to go on vacation or you need to wait till the candlelight service, or we find other moments too. You know, we aspire to transcendence as well on occasion. We're pretty laid back, but we can do it up with the rest of them when we need to. And it's that balancing act. Some of us, you know, we live flying high on the cloud, and some of us, man, we're down in the muck. And, you know, and I think the Christian faith is something about finding that balance. In fact, I think that's a lot about what Lent is about. It's kind of resetting that balance for those of us that we live in that happy cloud, that transcendent, carefree kind of a lifestyle most of the time. I know sometimes Lent gets that reputation of being kind of a bit of a downer, but I think it is about maintaining that balance in a Christian life. That if you've been ignoring that sort of introspection of that deep searching prayer, that this can be a time for that. But I don't think it necessarily has to be. I think it has to be something that you reflect on your own life to nurture whatever balance you need. If you're a person that's always down there in the muck of life, if you're always feels like you're always stressed out about one thing or another, and I know that that is kind of getting larger and larger in our, that camp is getting larger in our society as the days go on, especially during election seasons, right? But you know, nurture that balance within yourself. You know, God comes to us in the awe-inspiring and in the wonderful, but God very much is with us in the ordinariness and in the chaos too. And so take advantage of that. If you need to balance yourself out by digging into some deep introspection this Lent, you know, there's a lot of great resources, you know, lots of devotionals. There's simply read a book that is a perspective different than your own, or volunteer for something that you've always wanted to at least try out, or maybe push yourself in some other way of, man, being nice to that neighbor that's always just such a pain in whatever, right? Show some small bit of kindness, even though everything inside your head is like, oh, here's a nice pie for you, you know? Have those moments of balancing out your life a little bit that way. But if you're the person that's always kind of stressed out, take some time and find some space and maybe make your Lenten discipline simply getting up for every sunrise and staying for every sunset, enjoying a bit of peacefulness in your life, seeking out art or seeking out different kinds of music or whatever it is that gets you to reflect on the wondrous aspects of God as well. The part that takes us out of the dreariness of our life, that light that shines into all of our darker places. You know, nurture that balance within you, because that's part of the Christian life. We need both of those to sort of keep us healthy, to keep us moving forward. If it's true for the disciples, it's probably true for us as well. So God, just remember, God will be there for us. Whatever you do, wherever you go, whether it's the glory of a mountaintop or the suffering of a cross, whether it's moments of great joy or our deepest moments of doubt and fear, God will be there with us. Amen.
All right, please rise for the reading of our Apostles' Creed. Let us confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Trusting that God hears us, let us pray for the church, the world, and all those in need. Holy God, your loving power is at work among us. Rouse and embolden your church, that we too might be transfigured, set alight in the world for the sake of the gospel. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Awesome God, you speak and the earth trembles. You display your majesty in the mountains and your mystery in the clouds. Grant that we discover your magnificence in all of your created world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Ruler of nations, your reign extends across all human borders. Guide world leaders in justice and righteousness, that they may work for equity for all people and protect the world that you have made. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Gracious God, you are a refuge for all who are neglected and abused. Bring freedom to those who are oppressed, and give comfort to those experiencing pain of any kind. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
God of Moses and Elijah, you made your dwelling place at the top of a mountain with Jesus and his disciples. Dwell also in this congregation, that all who enter this community might be transformed by your dazzling brilliance. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Good and gracious God, we lift up additional prayers this morning. We continue to keep in mind all those in our congregation in need of your healing presence in their life to be a comfort. We especially remember Ron Hines as he recovers from some shoulder surgery. And please be with all those other people that we may name now, either out loud or in our hearts. Please be with all of our members who may be traveling this time of year or who may be down somewhere warm while we're up here in the cold. But we are grateful for beautiful days up here as well. Everlasting God, you offer eternal life to all your children. Thank you for the witness of those who have lived and died in the faith. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Confident that you are able to accomplish more than we even dare to ask, we bring these prayers before you, believing your saving grace revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of that peace with one another.
Let us pray. God of wonder,
you formed us in our mother's womb, and from Mother Earth you bring forth this bread and wine. We place them at your table, together with our lives and all that you have made. Open the heavens to us and pour out your Spirit. We wait for your mercy. We long for your peace. We hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ, our banquet of life. Amen.
Blessed are you, O holy God. You are life and light of all. By your powerful word, you created all things. Through the prophets, you called your people to be a light to the nations. Blessed are you for Jesus, your Son. He is your light shining in our darkness and revealing to us your mercy and might. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering, therefore, his preaching and healing, his dying and rising, and his promise to come again, we await that day when all the universe will rejoice in your holy and life-giving light. By your Spirit, bless us and this meal, that refreshed with this heavenly food, we may be light for the world, revealing the brilliance of your Son. Through him, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Come to the table of mercy and joy. You may be seated.
Please rise as you are able. Faithful God, you have kept your promise to us in this meal, nourishing us with the gift of salvation. Now send your Spirit forth in peace, that we may testify to your goodness and share the hope that is ours in Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. May Christ, the wisdom and power of God and source of our life together, keep you united in mind and purpose. In the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you always.